I'm Victoria Shepherd for WILL, and this is the Mid-American Gardener podcast, where we love to talk about anything connected to gardening in central Illinois. My guest this episode was someone that I affectionately refer to as the Beneficial Bug Lady. More formally, she's known as a University of Illinois horticulture educator, as well as one of our amazing Mid-American Gardener panelists on the TV show. Of course, I'm referring to Kelly Alsup. And because the weather was so fabulous, we were fortunate enough to be able to sit outside and do our first in-field recording. So apologies in advance if there is some rather iffy audio at times. I promise to get better. So without further ado, let's get to the interview. Kelly, can you tell us a little bit about where we are right now and what's so special about this place?
Yes, we are sitting right in the middle of the Idea Garden at the University of Illinois Arboretum. The Idea Garden is run by the Master Gardeners. And so there is just such a diversity of blooms looking around. And there's bees buzzing and butterflies fluttering everywhere. And there's plants that you've never seen before, or plants grown in a different way. And the Master Gardeners just do a really wonderful job of making sure you have a diversity of plants out here and shows everybody how to grow them.
So how long have you been working at the university?
In this current position, 6 years. But before I had this job, I was actually a research greenhouse specialist at the University of Illinois, where I helped people grow their research projects.
What would you say, do you have a favorite? What have you enjoyed most about it so far?
I actually think I have more instincts as a good teacher than I had previously thought I had. So that personally has flourished about myself. And then, I graduated with a horticulture degree and soon learned that I had a passion for entomology. And so I don't think any other job would have allowed me to flourish in the way I have in my entomology knowledge. So now I'm the one people go to when they need an insect identified, and then I CC it to Phil Nixon. Joke. But he is my hero. And so people go to me when they want to talk about pollinators and butterflies, and it just is so rewarding. And I love that I get to delve into that part of horticulture.
Now, we were, in fact, talking earlier about how to build the perfect butterfly garden. Is it me, or are more people showing an interest in creating this kind of space?
Yes, I do think that that is. I actually think the biggest pusher are the baby boomers. Because they're no longer about having a perfectly manicured lawn and a perfect landscape, but they actually want to see the butterflies and the bees and the wildlife interacting with their garden. So I do think people are thinking more about butterflies and pollinators, and then our poster child, the monarch butterfly.
And speaking of the monarch butterfly, I've heard there's such a thing called the Monarch Corridor. What exactly is that?
Yes. Previously milkweed was actually considered a weed here in Illinois, and farmers or gardeners didn't really like it. They would actually move it out. But now that we don't have as much natural areas, we're actually losing the milkweed plant. So we thought we actually had a 99% decrease in the monarch population. That's really worrisome. That's a huge percentage of our population. I mean, wouldn't it be really sad if we no longer had this beautiful migration and these butterflies that we are so affectionate towards? But what some scientists have discovered or believe that may be so is they're actually losing their population because they don't have enough food to make it back down to Mexico. So what now University of Illinois Extension is trying to promote people to do is to plant fall blooming perennials in the garden, and that will help those butterflies get enough nectar to go down south. So you think about what it would be like if you had to walk down south and how down to Mexico and how much food you would need. Think about how much nectar from blooming plants they need. So they're thinking about, you know, and it's not just us, it's a complete corridor all the way down to Mexico that needs to boost their fall blooming perennials.
I'd need a load of pies. That's what I'd need to get down there.
I'd need an airplane. That's what I would need.
I actually didn't realize that butterflies flew down to Mexico. So it's an annual migration. The butterflies head down there.
Yes, you know, and but not every butterfly does this. You know, we have the painted ladies. They do annual migration. Actually, the majority of the butterflies that you see flying around in Illinois, they overwinter right here.
Really? And it's not too cold for them?
No, they're very well adapted to our Illinois weather. And that leads me to talk about another thing when it comes to butterfly gardens. You know, a lot of the butterflies will overwinter as a larva, maybe wrapped up in a leaf, or overwinter as a chrysalis or a cocoon that looks like a leaf. So in the fall, when you're out there trying to clean up your garden, you're actually getting rid of next year's butterfly population. So this is what I tell my master gardeners all the time. I am giving you permission to be a lazy gardener and not clean up your garden in the fall, because you're actually getting rid of habitat for some of those beautiful butterflies.
And I thank you for that. Not having to do the fall cleanup so intensely is a very good news.
Yeah, I think in horticulture, we have a lot of, you know, where we in the past have promoted a certain thing, and now we're like, maybe we shouldn't have said that. Maybe we should, you know, we did it originally. You clean up your garden because we want you to get rid of all the diseased plant material. And I still want you to get rid of all the diseased plant material. But if you don't have diseased plant material, why take it away?
Now, listen, talking of milkweed and monarchs, Peg sent us a message via Facebook saying, I haven't had luck with orange butterfly weed. I planted several new ones last summer, and they were no shows this year. What's the secret?
I actually think that monarchs have, you know, an ebb and flow. You know, where sometimes they're really, really popular, sometimes they're not so popular. And, you know, I too can plant, have a monarch in a garden, and I'll have them dripping off one year, and the next year I won't see one single one. The best piece of advice that I can give you is continue, because you might have them come back. And continue that orange butterfly weed. You may not be feeding a larva, but you're feeding the adults the nectar, and that orange butterfly weed, bees love it too. But the most success I've had with monarch caterpillars is with the tropical milkweed, also known as blood flower. You know, you can find it from a high-end landscape center or a nursery or a greenhouse, and it's a tropical milkweed, and they actually prefer it to our native ones. It doesn't mean you won't see them on our natives, because, you know, I just planted swamp milkweed in my garden this year, and I already have a monarch on it. I just tend to be more successful with the monarch caterpillars with the blood flower. With that being said, I don't want you not to plant the native ones. I still want you to plant the native ones, but maybe why don't you try a blood flower next year and see if that works?
Okay. Now, is there a trick to growing these orange milkweeds that Peg talks about? How do you get the blooms? Because presumably the butterflies don't come if the flowers don't bloom, right?
No, the butterflies will not come if there's not nectar or blooms. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely correct. And but the butterflies will lay eggs on the leaves, regardless of whether there's blooms or not.
Huh.
It just might lure them more. I really think milkweed just takes, you know, 3 or 4 years for it to really get established. And even though it is a drought-tolerant plant, it needs to be babied that first year, or it's not going to, you know, thrive in the following years. And, you know, a lot of people plant perennials, and they think, oh, I don't have to water this perennial, or I don't have to think too much of it. Well, in the establishing period, you have to think about these perennials and water them during drought, or you're not going to get very good growth. But, you know, it really takes, you know, a good 3 or 4 years for butterfly weed to really establish and look really good. And, you know, it might take a little bit longer for monarchs to find it. And, you know, again, don't stress. You know, you will eventually have a monarch butterfly.
Now, the tropical milkweed mm-hmm. that you mentioned, does that fare well during our winters?
No, it doesn't. It dies out completely, but it reseeds.
Oh, so you don't have to go and buy a new one.
Yes, so it'll reseed and you'll actually have some seedlings come up the following year, especially if you can be able to identify them. Another thing that you can do is, if you have a tropical milkweed and the pods start coming on and they get really brown and papery, you can pop those off, put the milkweed, the seeds are going to be attached to this white fluffy stuff, it's called flass. Put it in a cup with a quarter and shake it around. That quarter will knock all that floss off, and then you'll have seeds for next year.
That sounds wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And not too difficult.
No.
That was actually one of my next questions. If people are interested in having a butterfly garden, what sort of size, how easy is it, and what kind of space do they need to do it?
I can't say an exact space requirement. I just really feel like you need to think about something blooming for the spring, the summer, and the fall. And, you know, they like to flutter from flower to flower. So if you have, you know, one plant in there with three blooms, yeah, you're probably not going to attract a lot of butterflies. But if you have, you know, four plants in there with 12 blooms, you might have a better chance of luring them. So, you know, maybe 3 or 4 plants of something, mm-hmm. spring, summer, and fall. You need something blooming at all times of the year to give them nectar. And then another thing is think about you have flowers to feed to the adult butterflies, but what are you going to feed to the caterpillars? And then that's where I go to some of the best caterpillar food is butterfly weed, parsley, dill, snapdragons is great for buckeye caterpillars, and coneflower, which is a larval source for silvery checker spot butterflies.
Okay. Now, preparation. If people want to have a butterfly garden, or any garden for that matter, what sort of preparations do they need to put in place?
First of all, they need to build the garden in full sun because butterflies need to absorb the sun to keep themselves warm. And it will not be a successful garden in a shade location. Second of all, always amend the soil. If you're going to go out and spend lots of money on plants, give yourself a fighting chance by amending the soil. With some good organic matter, some mushroom compost, something out there, and, you know, put the money into that, and then go ahead and plant some of your plants. Again, I do think that establishing year, that first year, you need to baby that garden and really think about doing additional watering when it doesn't rain. The subsequent years, you're not going to need to additionally water it quite as much. I'm not a big fan of using fertilizers on perennials. Usually one time a year in the beginning of the spring is all you need to fertilize perennials. Most of the time they do very well out here. But I do think, you know, with a butterfly garden, adding some of those annuals that are all season long flowers might really help too. So those actually respond a little bit more to fertilizer and water, and it keeps them going. Some of my favorite annuals for a butterfly garden have proven to be, you know, some of the most butterfly preferred are sweet alyssum or blue salvia or zinnias. Zinnias are just butterfly magnets. Another one of my favorite is cosmos. And then don't forget about the herbs. The herbs actually have little tiny flowers that butterflies and bees actually love.
Wow, there's a lot to go on. Now, you mentioned taking care of the plants during the first year. Does that mean either bringing them in or covering them in the colder winter months?
Absolutely not, especially if it's a perennial for Illinois. You want it to vernalize, which means go through a cold treatment. Some plants won't bloom the next year if they don't go through a cold treatment. So you don't want to cover them. You just want to water them during drought because their roots haven't established. They're not very, you know, robust yet. So, I just started my own personal butterfly garden. I added compost and I've been watering a couple of times a week if it's not raining.
Now, the Idea Garden, where we are right now, is a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. So for people who have perhaps never been here, don't know about it, why is this such a great place to be?
Well, I'm completely convinced that we absolutely need plants and flowers. I think it's in our DNA to grow vegetables, to grow plants. I guarantee you, if you come here, you will see a flower that takes your breath away, or you will see a plant that you've never seen before, or you will see a combination that you'll want to actually grow in your own home. The master gardeners work here. They try to come up with new plant combinations. They try to grow some of the new stuff. They try to, you know, show different aspects of gardening, whether it be, you know, making it more fun and whimsical for the children's garden. Then they have kind of a meditation garden, and then one all dedicated to tropicals and another one dedicated to vegetables and fruits. And you want to know how to grow vegetables and fruits? Come to the Idea Garden. It shows you exactly how to grow it.
And the great thing is that everything will that's here grows in central Illinois, mm-hmm. right? And that everything is labeled. So if you see something that you like, you can snap a picture of it,
yes.
and remember it when you get to the garden center.
Yeah, I mean, except for the tropical corner, which they do take those plants out and put them in the greenhouse. I used to take care of them.
Multi-talented lady.
But you know what else I actually love about this garden? They have some amazing color combinations, especially on the outer edge of the garden. There's just some color combinations that just blow me away. And so I'm constantly inspired by the master gardeners and their use of plants. And so I've definitely stolen a few plant combinations from them.
Well, listen, I have one last question for you. Being the beneficial bug lady, if you were a bug, what would you be and why?
You know, I can actually answer the question. I love hummingbird moths. And the reason why I love a hummingbird moth is because it's mysterious and beautiful and ethereal. And so a hummingbird moth kind of looks like a hummingbird because it stays in flight when it's feeding. Now, most moths or butterflies have to land when they feed, and then they'll unroll their proboscis and sip up the nectar. But the hummingbird moth can stay really far away from the, and it looks almost like it's not a real insect. And then the caterpillar is actually a hornworm, and a hornworm is mostly detested by people. Now, I would be the prettier hummingbird moth, which is a white-lined sphinx moth, and their caterpillars eat apples, not tomatoes. But, the hornworm that eats your tomatoes actually turns into a hummingbird moth.
So I shouldn't have perhaps relocated my hornworm to the compost heap.
Hey, you won't have tomatoes if you don't relocate the tomato hornworm. It just goes to show you that something that can be a pest when it's a larva is celebrated when it's an adult. And sometimes vice versa.
Sorry, hornworm. Thank you, Kelly, for coming and joining me at the Idea Garden, which is a fabulous place to come. So Please do stop by if you haven't seen it. Thank you very much, Kelly.
Thank you for having me join you in such a beautiful place.
Oh, Kelly, one question. Is there a suitable book that you would recommend for people interested in butterflies and insects?
Well, I actually do have two. I love the new Butterflies of Illinois that was put out by the Illinois Natural History Survey. Just a really great handbook. But one of my go-to books, not a University of Illinois book, but it won a Teacher's Choice Award, and it's called The Life Cycles of Butterflies. It's a children's book written by Judy Burris, and the photographs are by Wayne Richards. And what's so amazing about this book is it shows really awesome pictures of the larva going through the different larval instars, the different stages, because when the caterpillar comes out small, it doesn't always look the same at the very end. And then it shows what the pupa, it shows what the host plant of these butterflies are. It is an amazing book to have if you're going to have a butterfly garden.
And we'll put a link on the website for that as well. And many thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us for another fabulous episode of the Mid-American Gardener podcast. Mid-American Gardener is a production of Illinois Public Media. This episode was produced and hosted by me, Victoria Shepherd. Executive producer was Lisa Broltz. Find us on the web at midamericangardener.org, where you can stream us as many times as you like. This and past episodes are also available through Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and the NPR One app. Please do subscribe, review, and rate with abandon. Getting your feedback will help us improve what we're doing and give you information that will not just be helpful, but entertain you. And if you have any gardening questions for future inclusion on either the TV show or the podcast, email us at yourgarden@gmail.com or message us via Facebook or call and leave a voicemail at 217-300-8224. Thanks again to Kelly Alsop. I'll be back in a couple of weeks with another gardening whiz. Until then, do send us your photos of some of your amazing butterfly gardens. We'd love to see them. Thank you.